Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Monday, November 14th of 2022. I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And, oh, I can smell these delicious donuts coming out of the donut maker. They're these Funfetti ones. And be having them after the show, but, oh, my goodness, they smell heavenly. They really do. And as for why so heavenly, I don't know. But they're fluffy, they're soft, they're not like hard. They're actually deliciously soft. And who doesn't like donuts that are super soft? Anyone who likes donuts that are hard instead of soft, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you're like those people Jesus talked about in John, where he said, "Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold." That's literally what that's literally what he warned us, was not to let our heart be hardened, you know, in the last days. And certainly, you know, you look at what's going on, now's the time to let our light shine, as opposed to just let our heart be hardened, because it can be easy with all the doom and gloom, this thing, that thing. I mean, everywhere you go, there's doom and gloom. Oh, like, talking about elections, it can even be this, like when they'll say things medically like this: this'll kill you, that'll kill you, that'll kill you, that'll kill you, that'll kill. According to that, anything you eat or drink can kill you, anything. Yeah. Or they'll say, this can increase that risk by 20%. Oh, this can decrease the risk, but it's like by like 10%. Like, I'm
negative.
I'm not saying what risks necessarily, but like they'll try to say, you know, but then sometimes it's like, what do you believe? What don't you believe? But nonetheless, it's like, but I mean, like, it's so much doom and gloom, but you know, you put your hope and trust in God. And, you know, instead of letting your heart get hardened, your love grow cold. But I do have your pun of the day from, your pun of the week from Planet Fitness. What dessert does a turkey eat for Thanksgiving? It's peach gobbler. It's not cobbler, it's gobbler.
Gobbler.
Which is brought to you by, of course, the pun board, my local Planet Fitness. I don't know if your Planet Fitness is I was just taking this little sweater off. But nonetheless, listeners, my local Planet Fitness here, we have this pun board, and it has cute puns on it. Sometimes it's changed weekly. Other times it's changed every few days. It all depends. Some puns just last longer than others. Yes, and because one of my helpers loves puns, so she always likes to tell me what the pun is that's on the pun board. Mm-hmm. She thinks it's like the cutest thing. And why does she think that? Oh, maybe because she's cool. Maybe. I don't know. But I honestly think those puns are pretty neat thing that they put up there on that big board thing. Because, and I'm not sure if everybody reads them. I'm sure some people read them. I've said that in the mall, in the malls that have them inside, they should have a copy of it in the window that looks into Planet Fitness so that if they're going down the hallway, they can read the sign. And my mall here has it in it, but it's at the end of the building, for one. And two, there's no entrance to it from in the hallway. Whereas in even it's interesting in this state, even like one of the biggest malls in the state, down by where my parents live, Great Lakes Crossing, that one has a Planet Fitness in it. It's not on like the end necessarily, but there's no entrance from in the hallway. But there is like a part where you can look in to the wall. And I mean, through the
way to get customers in the mall,
or in the gym, both can go both ways.
Right.
Even though I imagine on Black Friday, which is coming up in a week, I bet you that gym though that day is probably going to be next to empty because there'll be people who will see the parking lot and will say nope, because if they're not there to shop or at least people watch and what have you, then it's wise for them to kind of stay away, because I like all the people in that, and so I go on Black Friday to a couple of the malls down by where my parents live, and this would be my 12th year running in a row of going to Great Lakes Crossing on Black Friday. 12 in a row, 13th overall. And this is their 25th. This will be their 25th Black Friday because they opened 2 weeks before it in 98. So that means that I will have been there for over half of their Black Fridays. And the crazy thing is I can't say that for any other mall. because Midland was here 7 years before, and I never went like prior to 99. And then Saginaw, they were here since 1970, so 72 actually, and then Flint, 70, a couple of the other Detroit ones were there before, long before I even started going to them. But nonetheless, Black Friday's coming, and believe it or not, folks, Thanksgiving's a week from Thursday, and then of course it's getting to be that time of the year, folks. Mm-hmm. Getting to be that time of Christmas time. It really is, and I'm looking forward to all the great things that come with it. I'm going to decorate, put up my stuff over the next few days. Okay. Time to put the wreaths and, the Christmas tree up. Christmas tree. I know some people would rather call it a holiday tree. Lowe's did that 1 year, and it didn't go over so well. The crazy thing about that was 20 years ago that they tried that.
Wow.
Back in almost 20, 04, 05, somewhere in there. Almost a full Christmas. There was like this big war on Christmas. And hopefully it doesn't try to come back to that again, because that was terrible. Like that year, they were being real bad about it.
Yeah, it was pretty vicious.
Yeah, it was like they were just trying to see what they could get away with, and time after time, they get Yeah, they get it handed to them every time they try to do that. I wish God's people would be that angry about abortion.
Why?
As opposed to just whether you call it Christmas or holiday, where's the anger about killing babies? Because that's a much more serious issue than whether you call Christmas or holiday. Or these other hots. Because when they do, and in these different states where they voted to enshrine abortion in the Constitution, and then Kentucky, they voted, they didn't necessarily vote, what was on the ballot there didn't necessarily say, you know, legalize all abortion. They just made it so that they couldn't keep the total ban, the basically total ban, which means, but still, nonetheless, I still hope that their Republican legislature will keep restrictions on abortion, because we'll see what happens there. When will people realize that abortion really is murder? Is what we have to wonder. And every year we graduate a few million registered voters, people who will register to vote when they turn 18. And what happens with what they've been being taught lately in the schools and that? What happens? And so people need to find out the truth over time, because those on the left, they want to feed the kids critical race theory and all that other stuff. You've heard of critical race theory, right? Oh, it's this crazy race stuff, and they want to basically say that there's certain books, you know, that they want to let the kids read in the schools, which is absolutely terrible stuff, and we need to come against all that stuff. Because in my state, you know, pastor said, you know, on Thursday night when he took the pulpit, he basically said, well, what happened? He's like, well, what happened? Because he was like, no, people might be wondering that. And he's like, well, you got outnumbered. We got outnumbered. Those of us who went and voted, he wasn't talking about Republican Democrat. He meant like Christians versus not. And he's like, well, apparently in this state, voted to, you know, kill babies and that. And then he also said, you know, there might have been maybe some cheating, but he said, you know, don't believe every little conspiracy that you hear, because different people, they might even have good intentions, but they might only go by what other pundits say. Like one conservative pundit might say, yeah, I heard this and this and this, and this person won every county in that state. And then you wonder, well, how did they know? How do you know? And then it's like, not to mention big tech, they will try to skew us one way. Like they, Like, whatever happened to big tech being neutral? Facebook, Twitter, and all that. Whatever happened to them taking the neutral approach and welcoming all sides? You know, whatever happened to that? Because that's how it used to be. Even in 2016, it was rather neutral. Like, they would go rather neutral. So that, so a bit of what happened, we got outnumbered as far as in the case of Michigan. But in states like Florida and Ohio, man, the conservatives, you know, they went out there and voted. And I tell you, if you live in Florida, you should be proud. Because, yeah. And I'm not just saying that because I really, you know, really like Florida. I do really like Florida. I mean, I don't just say it because it's a place I really like to go now, you know, like to warm back up in the winter. I'm saying that because, you know, their governor is doing a great job. And people are saying, you know, should he run in 2024? Well, to that I would say he should follow whatever God would want him to do. And that's just a bit of what happened, you know, in the elections, just that we got outnumbered. That's why it's so important that we win souls. And then hopefully through them getting saved, they'll realize, as they open up their Bible and realize, you know, in the commandments and that. And then they'll vote accordingly. That's what we pray for. So it's to the point now where, like, the more souls we can win for the kingdom of God, the better it can be. That's basically what it's boiling down to. And I do, honestly, it's the way I see it. And you can see it any way you want to. I'm not telling you what to think. It's just the way I feel about it. And that's my story. And as they say, it's my story. Oh, here's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah, I'm not gonna change it just because someone else might want me to. Meaning, I said what I think, and that's what it's staying as. And you still have the right to think what you want to think, but all right. So the plan for tonight is, you know, I'm going to get into a couple songs and then read the Word of God tonight. And tonight I'm going to teach on from the story in John about the man who receives his sight and what happens there. And what happens there when all these people are interviewing him. And so it's going to be a cool story. And I believe if Jesus can do it for him, he can do it for me. He can do it for any other person who is believing for a healing in their body, regardless of what it might be. You know, whether it be their eyes, their ears, you know, an organ, a heart thing, who knows? As I say all the time, I don't know necessarily what everybody needs who turns into this program. I don't know what they're believing for, what each one of you is believing for, but I always pray that God meets your needs. And that's part of why we call this the Miracle Man program, because I believe in the miracle working power of Jesus. And I believe that you can receive your miracle right there tonight, wherever you're sitting, whether it's at home, whether you're driving, whether you're, you know, maybe you're got your headphones on while you're out, I don't know, maybe shopping, trying to get those, starting to get your Thanksgiving stuff picked out, or Christmas stuff even, because some people are starting to get stuff for Christmas, because I was just over in Saginaw the other day, and granted, the mall's not as busy as it used to be, but I did feel like when I was in there Saturday, like it was a little heavier than I would have thought it would have normally been for just a typical Saturday at that certain very particular time of the day. So that's telling me that people are getting into the spirit of, people are getting, fully getting into that Christmas shopping mood. But then yesterday we went to Cracker Barrel, and then my mom had to go went to the Meijer over there to look for something and wasn't busy there yet, so it must be spotty. But then again, you realize that Bay City does have a different, another Meijer also, right? There's two of them. There's two of them, so that can be part of it. The one I was at was at the freeway one, the one right next to the freeway. But anyhow, we're starting to see signs, and it's cold out now, and it's going to stay below average for the next at least 8 to 10 days. I'm not really going to look at that as a negative. I'm going to look at that as a sign that we're getting closer to the holidays, basically, and because, you know, this is the time of year where you can embrace it. You know, I always like to say, if we can keep the snow off the roads, I'm not going to be really calling it the white stuff as much anymore for around the holidays and stuff. I'll call it snow. Because around Thanksgiving, and especially after Thanksgiving going into Christmas, we're all for it around here where I'm from, where I live, as long as we can keep it off of the roads, especially on the weekends where people like to go do the shopping, go look at the lights, go do the, you know, man, I would love to get rid of Amazon. Obviously, I, hashtag, just saying, just had to get it off my chest. I'm sorry, just me, because listeners, if you say, oh, I love Amazon, I have like prime status, the best prime shopper there is on Amazon, then go ahead, prime on. But what you're going to say then when your little plaza or your indoor mall is mostly empty, then what are you going to do? Well, then what are you going to say? Ever give that a thought? I wonder if some people who are in some of these malls sometimes will be out looking around at the stores, you know, looking for ideas. And then maybe while they're sitting there on the bench in the hallway, are actually scrolling Amazon to find it. Do you bet some of these people are doing that in some of these malls? Do you bet they've been? Do you bet they've done it in Midland Mall too? Do you get that feeling that even while you were there with me, people had their phones out sitting in the food court, and maybe that's what they were doing?
They very well could have been, yeah.
Yeah, they could have been sitting there eating McDonald's. Oh, but they got their phone out and they're getting stuff on Amazon after looking to see what we. So, or maybe they're doing it while they're in Target.
Yeah.
You bet some have done it.
Try to get the mall experience, but still not have to shop.
Yeah, like they'll go and look at it, but then be like, oh, hey Siri, open Amazon. I'm still waiting to hear someone do that right there and be like, Siri, open it. If I did, I'd be like, what? Like what I do if I play dice and I get a real low number that I don't want, like a one or a two. All right, folks. But now I want to remind you of a couple of real quick things. The first one I'm going to mention is with the holidays coming up next week leading into Thanksgiving, I'm going to be talking about giving of thanks and the idea of Thanksgiving. Where did it come from? Why is it so important that we actually give thanks and don't just use Thanksgiving as a four-day weekend to eat some more, watch football, get drunk on alcohol. Hopefully you don't do that. Shop, and then shop more. It's funny. Speaking of that, there's something funny. I'm sure I'll say it again either later this week or next week as it approaches. It's so funny. On Thanksgiving Day, you will gather. Many of us will gather around the Thanksgiving table with loved ones. Maybe we'll even hold hands and pray. We'll eat a meal together. You know, some of us might watch football too while we're at the gathering. Watch the Lions, hoping and praying that they win. But then the next day, for a while there until 2 years ago or so, it was even Thursday night, it would be something. The same day that you would give thanks, you could later go fight over a parking spot, literally fight over a parking spot, go in there, and rush the aisles for, guess what? More stuff! And some of the stuff that people will get, it's not so they can, on Black Friday, it's not so they can gift it. It's for themselves. Do you bet a good 40%, maybe even half of what people get on Black Friday doesn't even end up getting gifted? 40% of it doesn't even get gifted. But then once you get to those December weekends, the closer to it they get, you get the percentage of what they don't gift drops off quick. I bet you by the 20th, I bet you by that December 20th, if that's a Saturday, 17th this year, by then it's down to like 8%, maybe even 5. You would say 5 if it's not food, 5. But they, and then they're all nice about and the people who go through everything to get it, you know, they'll fight for a parking spot and all that kind of stuff on Black Friday. And some of those people, it's crazy. They will be honking their horns over a silly parking spot. Where the previous day, Jesus, I thank you for my family, my house, for my next. Get over. Shut up. I bet you some people, they literally an hour and a half after that, when it was open on Thanksgiving at Walmart, they could have dinner at like 4:30, and then at 6:30, get over. Yeah, be like, I'm like, you were just talking about how thankful you were. Yeah, but now I want. So, I mean, just some people, but, you know, to each their own. And like I said, you know, you know, every year I kind of say this, but it just kind of makes you wonder, you know. So my hope is that I plan to teach on, you know, a little bit on giving thanks and, you know, and how that really is important that we truly thank God for what we have, because it's funny, the world will talk about giving thanks and being thankful, but, you know, so we'll be on that a little bit. And then, of course, after Thanksgiving, basically after Thanksgiving, what will happen is I'll start doing Christmas music every show, right on through to Christmas, because by then it'll be Christmas time, and some of us have already started listening to Christmas music, and I have myself, and I'm got my song picked out for what I'm going to do for special Christmas music through the church and like a Sunday morning or whatever. And then also I'm doing a different song for the family Christmas music night. So yeah, I get to offer something to both, because I have been doing, and I enjoy doing it. And I like to say this, before I get the other two announcements, which I'll be doing quickly, tonight, folks, I guess you're just listening to a man of many words. A man of many words. Sometimes my pastor has said that every once in a while, you know, but I have heard before, I had seen something on Facebook, what it had said was, some of us might know about that idea of, if it's your birthday, in a way, it's almost like you get the whole month for your birthday, you know? Like my birth month is July. So July is my other favorite month of the year, basically tied with December. Does it have to do with my birthday? I don't know about that. I think it has to do with, like, in my mind, at least, it's the best summer month there is. I had heard the idea of, you know, if we get one month for our own, then why doesn't he get two? Referring to, you know, December, and also, if not all November, at least part of it. Certainly part of it, because so with that in mind, in the next few days, I'm going to have my Christmas stuff put up, the tree and all the hat. I wish there was a way to hook up a tree to, like, a Christmas tree to, like, this big stereo system, and the tree could even dance like the Christmas music. Oh yeah, I'd be all over this. I would think it was the coolest thing. And it could be like spinning around and stuff to the different speeds for different songs, of course. And maybe for like the Snoopy one, it could just be sitting there just kind of, you know, wagging its little thingy, make it look like a little Snoopy. It'd probably be the talk of the neighborhood. Yeah, because they'd all want to see through the window. I'd be all. But it would be neat. So the other two quick announcements that I always like to make. Number one, and then I'm going to sing a couple songs. The first thing I want to mention to you for the other announcements is the book, Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to the website, Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing to your life. Because it's the story of my life and how great God has been to me. And it's been just a marvelous story, what he's done through my life. And you get to go there and read it. The other thing I want to tell you about real quick is about the PayPal. This has been a blessing into your life. I pray it has been. You can go online to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. Every seed you sow helps keep us going, helps us reach more people. Praise God. It's always great. Anytime we get to reach more people, I always thank God for that. You can go online to paypal.com and in the search bar type in Rivers Shukla, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla are both capitalized. So please make a note of that. The verse I want to sow into your life is where it says, he who soweth in the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he who soweth in the spirit shall through the spirit reap blessing. Amen. I want the blessings of God. I do not want me corrupted. I don't want my family corrupted. I don't want corruption. I want blessing of God. Amen. And so I'm going to sing a couple of songs real quick, including one that you'll be able to hear at least once through the holidays, Christmas. So I'm going to do, so I'm going to start singing. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, a yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. A night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His love is life, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus praise be. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let us forever praise be his power and glory. Evermore proclaim his power and glory. Evermore proclaim, fall on your knees. O ye, the angel voices, all night divine, all night, when Christ was born, all night divine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear. He's silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, the one who does impossible, he's reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. Yes. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the God of miracles. You're the God with miracle-working power, the God who strengthens hearts, who heals minds, who heals bodies, who just He gives strength to the brokenhearted. You heal their hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that you just meet every need represented tonight on this program. You know what they have need of tonight, even when I don't. And thank you that you are just right there as each and every one of these people who is calling out upon your name right now, that you're meeting their needs. You're strengthening them. You're just helping them to get through this maze of the last days. And though it is a maze, Jesus, and you already know that, it's a maze. And,
sure is a maze.
And thank you that you're helping us to get through this maze and helping us to trust you and you alone and to serve you, you alone. And I make my confession. Thank you, Master, that every one of these listeners tonight be able to receive something from you as we open your word to study. May they not be distracted. May they instead be focused on receiving what you have for them. May they be expecting you to move on their behalf and not just be worried about when is he going to do sports, when is he going to do, you know, and what have you, which I will, but we're going to study the word first. And I thank you, Lord God, that they will receive from you what you have for them in your matchless name. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners will come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for huge amounts of souls come into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Please go with me, if you will, please, to the book of John, chapter 9. Amen. Praise God. And as they say, we don't have forever. We don't have a long, long, long time, but we have some time to study the word. So we're going to open it up and see what all he has for us for tonight. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. And if you're not there yet, then you'll be able to go ahead and catch up. If no one beat me, I win. But maybe one of you beat me. And if you're just saying that and you didn't win, then that means you're not telling the truth. But if you actually, maybe some of you will need to try some Bible drills and see who can beat me. Let's have to see. Oh, all right. Enough of that. John 9, I'm going to begin with verse 1. As he went along, so as Jesus went along, that's who that he was. As Jesus went along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I don't know how someone could sin in the womb and be born blind. Truth is, he couldn't sin while he was in the womb. So just thought I would point that out for you. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or sinner that he was born blind? Off pause, verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus told them. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. What that means is so that a miracle might happen in his life. Jesus is not saying, "Well, I caused this in his body. I caused this." If you have infirmity, get this in your mind. It is not God who is making me sick. It is not God who is making me sick. God said, "I will put none of these diseases upon you." None of these sicknesses or diseases upon you. So get that in your mind right now. I know I've mentioned this many times before. No, I'm not a broken record, but I want to make sure to get this very straight, because we might have new listeners tuning in from time to time, and they might need to be reminded. So that's why I kind of go around these lines. So that the will of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Wherever I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. The man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I'm the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" They demanded. They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Verse 13. Oh! So they brought to the Pharisees. Oh, another miracle? More Pharisees. Oh, no. Just when we think he's safe, there's Pharisees there. Oh, Pharisees, Sadducees, wouldn't sees, couldn't sees. And sometimes the Sadducees, it really is sad, you see. It is.
Yep.
So they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened, the man replied. He's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now we can see? We know that he is our son, his parents answered, and we know that he was born blind. He can now see how he can see now, or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, where already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. That's where we get that from Amazing Grace. I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we do not even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. And then this passage too. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? Sir, the man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and they asked, What? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. So, you look at this and you go, you know, it's an interesting story what you have there. And he had found out about God. He had found out about following, you know, godly principles and that, but he didn't really yet know Jesus yet. So that man had come, his parents also. Jesus told the blind man, go to the pool, go to Siloam, wash. He said, go home and then go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Who knows how he found Siloam? It's not like he had a cane that he could use or his phone, which they didn't have iPhones then. And he could maybe find or have someone help him to find his way over there to where Siloam was so he could get in the pool, wash the mud that was thrown on his eyes and wash it off and then him be able to see. Now how, but he goes there, washes the mud from his eyes, then he's able to see. And so he comes back seeing. All these people are asking him all these questions. All these Pharisees are asking him. All these other people are asking him. They're just asking him. I'm sure there's other questions that weren't even written in the story. I imagine the CNNs of the day, if they had it, and MSNBCs, MSDNC, MSLC, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure every media outlet of the day would have been there asking them questions. They would have been saying, who is this? What happened? And they said, isn't this the guy who used to sit here and beg? Isn't this the guy we saw? You know, like, you just, Young Ho, and like the man who you, and then other people are like, he looks like him. He says, oh, it was me. And he says, but then like in his own way, he's like, well, you won't see me like that anymore because now I see. And so, and then he's telling him stuff and what have you. And his parents even tell the Pharisees, because the Pharisees ask his parents something, but they say, he's of age. He's old enough. He can speak for himself. Go ask him the question. Rather than to sit here and ask us, and they're saying, well, we know that he was born blind. We also know now we can see. At this point, though, the parents didn't know that it was Jesus who opened up his eyes. The mom and dad didn't know. But so they must have been somewhere when he was explaining to them the first time. And then some of these Pharisees, I honestly think they had little pea brains. I think they had pea brains. That just means your brain was like the shape of a pea, tiny. Like they would, and they ask him again, and he's like, really? You want to hear the story again? Like you forgot already?
Right.
Like I told you everything, and you didn't listen. And we can't say they were messing around on their phones because at the time they didn't have their phone. They didn't have iPhones yet. And they're all... And they're all thinking, and he's like, this is one of the first times that I know of that a blind man could now see. And he's like, I'm happy I can see, but he's basically asking Jesus, well, who's the Son of Man? What's this whole Son of Man thing that you're talking about so that I can see him and I can believe him? And he says, well, sir, you're speaking to him right now. And he might have even said, you know, you're looking at him right now. Like it's him. And then the man says, I believe. And he worshiped him, and I'm sure he was doing more than just this weak little thing. I'm sure he was shouting, clapping, praising, grateful for what had happened, because that's no little thing. That was a life-altering miracle. And if you get that kind of thing happen for your life, but you don't shout, you don't thank God, you just sit there like, oh, well, then what's going on, you know? Because that is a huge miracle. But all these Pharisees, you know, some of these Pharisees and Sadducees, they just sit there and they try to dissect everything and be like, well, one of the problems we have with this is that you do this on a Sabbath. And he's like, well, I'm sure he's like, well, I wasn't letting a Sabbath keep me from doing my work. There's no certain day of the week, or time of day where Jesus' miracle working power doesn't work. So it always works. It even works in the middle of the night. You call upon his name, you're asking him, in your life, he's always working on somebody. And we can always have his confidence. that even if maybe it's not your own eyes that are blind naturally, but maybe it could be blind in a sense that spiritually speaking, there could be things that you just can't get to. You just can't understand. You just struggle so deep with that it's like a cloud on you. So in that sense, you could like spiritually be blinded. I can say, Lord, open my eyes to see these things. So the truth is he's still working on us. We're all a work in progress. Not one human among us is perfect. He's always working among us. And I think of that a song that's a kid's song, but, you know, it's so true. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It'd take him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be that he's still working on me. And the truth is he still is. He hasn't given up on us yet. I can't see where he says, well, I give up on you now. I'm just going to leave you in the muck and the mire and mud. And nope, he loves us. He'll get us up out of it. And the reason why? Because he loves us, because he cares about us that much. And that's why he just is there for us, making a way for us. And when it seems like there's no way, he's right there moving for us. And I just know for a fact that he is. And I just know that what we read tonight is a great story of what he, and he is, I'm sure he's thinking, you know, why would there be mud? Why mud? You know, because, one time I was at this event over on the west side of Michigan here about 15 years ago or so. And these people thought it'd be a good idea to put like a little mud type solution on my eyes. And they basically said, okay, go in the bathroom, wash it off. They might have been well-intentioned, you know, trying to follow the Bible, you know, and do what was done in John 9. But then the guy came out with the mud off, you know, the stuff that was off or whatever it was. My parents were basically like, okay, no more. Because that could have been wacky. But there was people, you know, praying, believing God. And there were other people there believing for healings in their bodies and stuff. But not every time will Jesus always say, you know, do mud. Sometimes he'll say, you know, just believe my word and you'll be healed. Other times he might say something different. Other times he might say something different, you know. But when Jesus gives certain instructions, you should follow those instructions in order to get your miracle. And the woman of the issue of blood, she had felt down that if she would just go touch the hem of his garment, that she could be healed. And mind you, she was around tons of people when in that condition, when she's bleeding like that. I don't know of anyone who would want to be in public like that. But she was like, you know, somehow she had found out that he was there and was like, she was desperate. Whatever happened to people being truly desperate, for the move of God, that they would do anything and everything and get out of their comfort zone. And I'm sure to her, she was probably thinking, oh my, this is packed. Like this is, no, I'm not talking about the mall on Black Friday. It was probably, about a big mall on Black Friday. It was probably, I bet you, for it to mention like that, I bet you it was more packed than that. I bet you there were like thousands of people out there just outside on this big thing on what's going on. And he gets touched, you know, and knowing that feels that power has gone out from him. And the disciples are like, what you're talking about? There's all these people around you, yet you're saying, who touched me? Well, that's kind of their way of saying, well, it could have been anybody. It could have been anyone. It's packed here. Like it's always saying, you're going to you might bump into each other because it's packed. Like is what you're saying. But he did that because he knew power had gone out from him. And that wasn't just any power. That was the healing power of God. And you know what that was that happened when that mud came off his eyes? That was healing power of God, is what that was. Because I believe in healing power of God. I believe that that's how miracles happen. And I thank you, Jesus, for all these people right now. I pray that may your healing power just be made manifest right now in each and every one of these people's bodies. No matter what it is they're dealing with in their body or their mind, may they just be healed in the name of Jesus. May the healing balm of Gilead just touch their bodies right now, touching all different organs and bodies, livers, kidneys, stomachs, backs, eyes, ears, hearts, just all over the bodies of these people right now, and healing all diseases in these people in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that we would receive this word and believe it and not doubt. In your matchless name, amen and amen. Now in terms of football, in high school football, Michigan High School Football Division II, you had Midland fall to Dexter 42-7. That does not diminish how great their season was. It was a great season. I would have not predicted that they would have made it this far. If you remember at the start of the season, listeners, I said they would go 5-4, maybe make the playoffs, 6-3, maybe make the playoffs. But that was basically what I had said, 5-4 or 6-3. I didn't think it would be 8-1 regular season. But they did. And they made it all the way to regionals, beyond what I thought they would have. Now, when the playoffs came, I figured there was a good chance for them to do some things, which they did do some things. Made it to the regionals, the top 8 in Division II. But then, and they were ranked number 5 in Division II regular season. So based on that, I would basically say that's where they finished. So about where they should have. You know what I mean? And so, Cole Cabana did receive 2 touchdowns, one of which was for 90 yards. So he caught the ball. But as far as just yards rushing, he only got 27, rushing yards for the Dreadnoughts of Dexter. Midland did a good job of containing their running game. Part of that could be because he did so much through the air, through Taylor, their quarterback, who threw for he threw for like 5 touchdowns, and it was you know, it was, I went down there and at least part of our band was there, which was nice, but their away side, their visiting side of that stadium was tiny. So tiny that there could probably only be 150 there. So a lot of the Midland people were standing. So that made it rather interesting. Because there was like 100 of us over there. Good to see. On the other side of the bracket, this was for Region 2. Region 1 of Division 2, you had Forest Hills Central beating East Lansing 24-10. So it'll be Forest Hills Central undefeated versus Dexter undefeated in at Portage Northern over by Kalamazoo, Saturday, 1 o'clock. On the other side of that, Division II, there's a couple of, there's one, De La Salle, taking on another Detroit area team. Region III, Region IV for the semifinals. Division I, Clarkston did beat Rochester Adams 38-35. So Clarkston will now be taking on Caledonia, as Caledonia beat Grand Ledge on Friday. So it'll be Caledonia Clarkston in East Lansing Saturday. The winner of that will go to Ford Field a week from Saturday to take on the winner of Cass Tech and another Detroit area. Belleville. Belleville Cass Tech. And that'd be cool if it were to be Clarkston Cass Tech. I hope that's what it is, but we'll wait and see. College. Michigan State, no, Michigan, big win over Nebraska, 38-10. And Cole Cabana was there in the house to watch the game. And I'm going to kind of keep tracking this Cole Cabana guy, being he's going to go to Michigan. And some people might go, really, Miracle Man? You just played him, but your team just played him, but you're intrigued? Well, I'm intrigued to see what he can do for Michigan. For Michigan Wolverine football. Possibly next year and the next couple years to come after that. As I learned that he can also receive the ball. So it can be like wide receiver, take it, run it in. So it can be very versatile. Michigan got the big one there. Michigan State, 27-21 winners over Rutgers, as they've got a nice two-game winning streak going now. So they've won three of the last four. Their only loss in the last four games coming to Michigan. So people might say, where are we now as far as the rankings? By we, I mean, as far as Michigan football being ranked. So currently, the way it stands, based on the top 25 polls, you have Georgia number one, that team to the south number two, Michigan three, TCU, Texas Christian University four, Tennessee five. Those are the top five teams. And that could make for a rather intriguing matchup in Columbus a week from Saturday, 2 versus 3. Who knows? Maybe by then it could be number one versus number two. That would be cool if it does. That would be very intriguing to watch. I'm going to be listening to that game one way or the other, because to me, this one is just too intriguing to miss it. Next up, Lions. Nice win in Chicago, 31-30, taking down the Bears. So, predictions. I figured Michigan and State would win. They did. Figured Lions would win. They did. Figured Dexter would win. They did. I figured that. I figured that Clarkson would win. They did. So, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see y'all next time.